And of course, we're following the latest news on the Egypt air crash and the sea off Egypt. Search crews this morning found some terrible wreckage, body parts, seats, luggage. And French and British investigators and an Airbus technical expert arrived in Cairo today to join the investigation into just what happened to cause this plane to drop from the sky as it traveled from Paris to Cairo.
And the tragic incident immediately became part of the presidential campaign after Donald Trump tweeted that it looked like another terrorist attack. He doubled down on that last night.
A plane got blown out of the sky. And if anybody thinks it wasn't blown out of the sky, you're 100% wrong, folks, okay?
Of course, he could be right about that, but it could also be pilot error or something technical. We just don't know at this point.
Well, on Friday, we look at the week in presidential politics, so let's do that. Let's bring in Domenico Montanaro, NPR politics editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hi there.
And Enrique Acevedo, Univision News anchor. Hi, Enrique.
Hi.
And Domenico, start with Egypt Air. Yesterday, CNN's Chris Cuomo asked Hillary Clinton about Donald Trump's tweet and his assumption that the crash was terrorism, again, before it's even, you know, been declared that. Here's what she said.
I know how hard this job is, and I know that we need steadiness as well as strength and smarts in it. And I have concluded he is not qualified to be president of the United States.
You don't think Donald Trump can?
Domenico, weigh in on this, because some people might see it's a brilliant move on Donald Trump's part, because so many people do think it is terrorism. Again, it goes under the category if he says what people are thinking. She's trying to remain balanced, but that might sound like an unreal answer to people. So what are you thinking?
Well, she's also said that it's likely terrorism, too. So, you know, they're pretty much playing on the same turf a little bit, except that he's going to jump the gun on these kinds of things. You know, there's also debate going on inside the Clinton campaign and Clinton supporters about how to describe the way Donald Trump talks about some of these things. They've been calling him risky and dangerous. And there was one person outside of the campaign who got some attention today who said that that risky is not good because it sounds like he's there's a potential upside. So they're trying to think about how to deal with someone as unpredictable as this. I think some of his supporters would rather that she say unqualified so that there's no distinction for an upside. But
right.
Boy, that is – it's really splitting hairs at this point. And anytime something like this happens, terrorism becomes on the top of the list. Republicans have been focused hotly on terrorism. It's been their top priority since at least last year. And this is something that Democrats have to deal with.
But Enrique – well, let me bring in Enrique on this, because as you say that – and of course it is something that looks like it could be terrorism to a lot of people. But I'm thinking back to right after 9/11 when that American Airlines plane flew into – to Queens, New York, and it wasn't terrorism, but a lot of people thought it was. It ended up turning – it was an accident. And so your thoughts. Is there a risk and a bad risk of coming out and saying something as a presidential candidate or as president before you know what the facts are?
I think it's important that you bring up 9/11, Jeremy. This has nothing to do with policy and everything to do with politics. But the cost of reacting to an incident like this without having all the facts is just too great. Remember what happens when a trigger-happy president rushes to make a national security decision based on incomplete or faulty information. The stakes are too high to be irresponsible for the sake of scoring political points. Lives are at risk, sometimes American lives. And that's why we have to demand that our leaders act accordingly.
Well, there was another moment involving Donald Trump this morning and involving foreign policy. He was on MSNBC's Morning Joe program, and he said he wouldn't have gone into Libya. And of course, the U.S. famously, assisted in getting rid of Gaddafi with airstrikes and so forth. And Joe Scarborough, the host of the show, did not correct Trump. But then the Clinton campaign came out and pointed out that, in fact, Trump had said in 2011 that he would have gone into Libya, and Scarborough came out and corrected the record later. Domenico, I imagine there are going to be a lot of these moments where Trump says something and then sometimes people will go back and say he actually had said the opposite before, and sometimes they won't. Does it matter to him?
Well, look, this is very different than a primary. This is a general election, and I think the stuff that didn't stick to him in a primary, I think some of it will stick in a general. His negative ratings are very high. At the same time, you have a candidate in Hillary Clinton who's also very cautious and has called herself not a natural candidate. But on foreign policy, this is something she wants to have a debate on. She believes that her experience as Secretary of State, even though there are conservatives who believe that her record was not very good, she fully believes that she has the experience and temperament to be president of the United States, and especially on an issue like foreign policy. She wants this debate.
Now, what about something? And we're going to stay with Donald Trump for another question, but it has to do with the Clintons. And this is, of course, him with an assist from Sean Hannity of Fox, bringing up the 25-year-old rape allegations against Bill Clinton. The Boston Globe called his doing that an unprecedented or personal attack by a GOP nominee. Even Clinton's opponents 25 years ago left those charges to the surrogates. So is that wise, first of all, Enrique, jump in on this, is it wise for Trump, given that his ex-wife Ivana accused him, Trump, of rape in their divorce? She later retracted that. But, you know, is it wise for him to jump in this pool? And second, you know, Clinton says she's not going to respond. This sounds like it's only going to increase the charges against Bill Clinton. Is that wise for her? Jump in on that.
Well, you know, I think it takes the campaign to a new low when we talk about this. And bringing up Bill Clinton, is it going to help or is it not going to help the Trump campaign? Is it going to help or not the Hillary campaign if she becomes the nominee? I think it depends where and why. Bill Clinton, for example, won in Arizona. And Hillary did really well during the primary. So I'm sure the campaign will bring him, well, will bring up Bill Clinton there. And also Trump will bring up Bill Clinton and NAFTA in places like Wisconsin or Pennsylvania. So it depends where and why.
Well, what about the media, Domenico? And Trump supporters would, of course, say this is only fair game. And Juanita Broderick, who was silent about her rape accusation for over 20 years, recently told the New York Times that they should do the same kind of in-depth piece on Bill Clinton and women that they did about Donald Trump and women.
Well, last time I checked, Hillary Clinton's not Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not Hillary Clinton who's been accused of, you know, this kind of misconduct. So I think that's a very different kind of thing. And to say that she's somehow enabling her spouse's infidelity, that I think is something that's going to rub a lot of women the wrong way. And you could see a gender gap that's further apart than ever before if this kind of line of attack continues down that path.
Well, and we're going to see it continue down that path.
Well, and Enrique, you just said something interesting, which is if she becomes the nominee, we haven't talked about the fact that the nominating still goes on, the primaries are still going on, and Bernie Sanders is still going on. Here he is at a rally in California on Wednesday.
Our campaign is going to win because we are doing something very unusual in contemporary American politics. We are telling the people the truth.
Now, if you look at the numbers, and I know, Domenico, you have done this very closely, I think there are only 90 delegates that Hillary Clinton needs now to get up to where she needs to be to get the nomination, something like that. It's a very small amount. But Enrique, your thoughts on the Democratic race as it continues, what's going on?
Sure. I mean, the party is clearly divided, and we'll see the real extent of those fractures once the nominee is chosen. Democrats can't afford to drag this on beyond the convention, but at the same time, they can't tell Senator Sanders what to do or force him in any way, because they need a united front to beat Donald Trump in November, and they need Bernie's energy, his base, and this movement he's created.
Well, you know, we saw what happened this past weekend in Nevada, the tempers that flared, although the chairs were not thrown. Let's take a second to make a correction here, because PolitiFact took a deep look. They report that there were no chairs thrown, as media outlets said, and we were guilty of repeating that reporting, that it was a chair-throwing melee. There was one chair lifted that people found, none thrown by Bernie Sanders people. But there were also no improprieties involving convention rules, as Sanders supporters claim. This, again, according to PolitiFact. Domenico, you know, are we going to keep those seeing these spasms from both sides, accusations from both sides?
Well, look, it's going to come down to Bernie Sanders and how he decides that he wants to talk about this. If you're going to have a candidate and a campaign manager and Jeff Weaver continue to fuel conspiracy theories that the system is rigged against them, and that the reason that he lost in the pledged delegates, and it looks like he will lose in pledged delegates unless he wins some 67% of all remaining pledged delegates, which is, quote unquote, the will of the people, what they talked about earlier in this campaign. And now they want to win with super delegates, and they're going to say, we lost the pledge delegates because the system was rigged.
Why are
and
they
then
doing
go,
that, though?
Well, because they want to try to win over superdelegates to say that they are the one that they need to pick the person who can best beat Donald Trump. Now, that is the kind of message that if you're going to take that into a convention, then there's no way if Bernie Sanders isn't going to say he lost fair and square, that is very potentially damaging to Hillary Clinton and to the Democrats, because then a lot of those people who are passionate Sanders supporters and who've poured in all that time and energy won't necessarily go to her side.
Enrique, you're in the swing state of Florida. As we close out our segment here, how is it looking to you? Is it going to be a close race in Florida between Trump and Clinton, if that's who it is?
Just very quickly, at this point, a higher percentage of Sanders supporters say they would vote for Hillary Clinton than the percentage of Hillary Clinton supporters
said
that said that in 2008.
Yeah.
For Obama. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Just talking about Florida and here
Real
in Florida,
brief.
The Latino vote. Yes, Democrats need a record turnout among Latinos.
Yeah.
And, you know, the anti-Trump sentiment won't be enough.
Enrique Acevedo, news anchor with Univision, and Domenico Montanaro, NPR politics reporter. Well, I say Montanaro. Robin, with her New York background, says Montanaro. But anyway, thank you to both of you.
Okay. It's Montanaro for the record.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I win.